Lecture 28, The Sack of Constantinople.
In this lecture, I wish to deal with the sack of Constantinople on April 13th, 1204, and not just that single event, but all of the events and causes around this tragic case of a crusade being turned against fellow Christians. To be sure, these were Greek Orthodox Christians. They were technically schismatics, although the imperial family was not in excommunication, and the then reigning Pope Innocent III was aghast at the fact that the city had been sacked. Nonetheless, this is a major turning point in crusading warfare. This was not the initial objective of the Fourth Crusade. As I mentioned, the original objective was to attack Egypt in the hopes of using Egypt as leverage for getting Jerusalem back. So understanding why this event took place is extremely important. Furthermore, there is a long scholarship dealing with this case, and as is the case with many such events, there's always conspiratorial theories, ulterior motives behind it. Everyone involved in the events has been blamed. The Venetians have often been regarded as the wily Italians who misled the northern European crusaders, who diverted the crusade against Constantinople to knock off an imperial rival or a commercial rival, and also to settle scores with humiliations going back at least to 1171, when Manuel I impounded all the Venetian property and arrested citizens. And the Doge himself, Enrico Dandolo, was in on the negotiations for the restitution of that property and was there when Venice was issued a new chrysobull. Other culprits include, for instance, the crusader leaders, especially Boniface of Montferrat, who was constantly at odds with the Count of Flanders, Baldwin, over the leadership for the crusade. In the case of Boniface, he was a loyal vassal of Philip of Swabia, that is, the king of Germany, who was at war with Innocent III. And so in many ways, Boniface was always working at cross-purposes with the papacy. And when the exiled prince Alexis IV showed up requesting the aid, Boniface naturally jumped on it. Alexis was the brother-in-law of his liege lord, and of course Boniface was going to do everything in his power to put an ally on the throne of Constantinople who would somehow either pay for the crusade or at least sustain the crusade so it wouldn't fracture and Boniface would be left without an expedition to lead. So clearly Boniface had his motives, Enrico, perhaps the Venetians. It's even been argued that Innocent III, for all of his correspondence and for his actions, was suspect, that he only excommunicated the Venetians in the final analysis, not the Crusaders, that his protest came too late to affect events, whether it be at Zara or Constantinople. I think this is unfair. I think Innocent had very little in the way of military force and diplomatic leverage. He could preach a crusade, he could motivate, he could inspire. He was now in a position to tax at least some of his clergy, but he was hardly in a position to lead a crusade any more than Urban III, II was a century earlier. So all of these, and then you can actually claim the Byzantines themselves are at fault, and there's a great deal of truth to that. Alexis IV made foolish promises, which certainly stunned the imperial aristocracy when they revealed what he had promised, as many in exile has always promised, that it's only the crazies who hate me, that the people love me. Alexis III, who was the reigning emperor, proved a coward and fled during the early stages of the siege of Constantinople. Alexis V, who came to the throne representing an extreme anti-Western wing in early 1204 that precipitated the final crisis, he had a very virulent anti-Latin, anti-Western policy, but he lacked the military force to back it up. And it's all very well and good to posture on the walls of Constantinople to tell the crusaders to leave, but when you don't have a military force that will make that policy effective, you're really operating in a diplomatic fairy tale land. And in the case of Alexis V, I think there's nothing more of an indictment of the regime that in the final siege, the only forces of any worth were the Varangian Guard, many of them Anglo-Saxons and Danes in imperial service, and in the final assault, they decided to have a sit-down strike and go for more pay. And you know your government is bankrupt when your own soldiers aren't going to fight for you in the final analysis.